If you look at Scripture, the Bible, as an amazing guided tour, we're on one of those right now. We're selecting readings that are going to go chronologically through the Bible. We began in Genesis a few weeks ago, really at the beginning of this month of July. And by the end of December, we're going to hit the highlights. We're not going to be able to cover every detail. But when you go to a museum or an art gallery, usually what happens is you see just enough to make you want to go back and visit again, see more of it, go deeper. The story of God's love for His people, as revealed in the Bible, is an amazing tour in and of itself. Beginning with His creating humanity, man and woman in His image, the fall of mankind, Adam and Eve, the choosing of Abraham. And as we have moved through the book of Genesis and the promise that Abraham's descendants would number the stars, and we followed the line of Abraham through Joseph, and then moving through 400 years of bondage that the Israelites spent in Egypt. Our readings this past week have been in the book of Deuteronomy. They comprise the speeches of Moses. After everything that Moses did in leading the people to Mount Sinai, the giving of the law, and on that wilderness wandering of 40 years, they are just about ready to cross over into the promised land. And Moses will not go with them. That has been made clear. So he spends the last messages of his ministry, if you want to look at it that way, the book of Deuteronomy, the last speeches, the words of encouragement, the most important things that Moses could think of to pass along to those who would lead the people, speaking to the nation as a whole, helping them to stay the course. That's what Deuteronomy is. One visit, one sermon, one message, one speech, one after the other. They're about ready to move across the Jordan River and to take Jericho and to begin that conquest. And that's why the words of Deuteronomy seem repetitive, because Moses keeps hammering the same message. It's summed up, at least in our way of thinking, in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy. We want to look this morning at verses 11 through 14 and ask God to speak to us on this part of the guided tour, this stop along the way in understanding God's purpose and understanding His ultimate plan for you and me. Beware. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His ordinances and His statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then will your heart become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. Moses is trying to remind the people of what possibly could happen. He's not trying to be pessimistic here. It may seem in a lot of his speeches, and some of those chapters we read last week were very long. I got an email from a couple of you saying that you wish the Old Testament writer could have had an editor. He just went on and on and on. And we just have to understand that the message of Deuteronomy, the message of staying the course, the warning of what can happen, what does happen, is one that Moses wanted the people to certainly understand. Why? Because he had seen it repeated over and over and over again in the past. And where he stood at this moment as he looked toward the future, he wanted to remind them of the cycle that they'd been enduring for years. It's always the same. They would need and have a desperate need and a hunger for God. They would want the Holy Spirit to rain down upon them, and God would bless them, and they would multiply in all of the blessings, and their flocks would multiply, their gold, their silver, their accounts, everything. Life would be good. And when they got to that point, they would forget. they would begin to take credit for these things themselves. They would ignore the most obvious. And that's why Moses says, hey, you need to remember, this is what will happen. This is going to happen if this is the attitude that you take. And we know because we see the big picture. We see it already written. We can look back, and as we're taking this guided tour, some of us already know that this cycle of destruction is going to repeat itself more than once. I think it has everything to do with the fact that Moses is trying to encourage the people to pay attention to the signs, the road signs along the way. Now, we've got some road sign images that are up here that I certainly hope that if you have an operator's license in the state of Texas, you have some idea of what these signs mean. If you don't, then let me get off the parking lot before you do today. How many of you took a driving test and had to identify some of these symbols? Most all of us did. How many of you disobeyed one of these signs on the way to church this morning? I don't want to know. Okay. We give you the shape because some of these signs have one basic message. Some of them are a particular shape that might have one of several messages depending upon the road conditions. But we're all familiar, at least we all should know, that the signs along the road, the signs along the path must be followed. You've got to understand. You've got to be clear. The signs must be clear. If the signs aren't clear, then there's going to be devastation. There's going to be a wrong turn. And Moses is trying to tell the people that God has given clear signs, directions along the way, and we need to follow them. Now, sometimes signs aren't very clear. We picked up some this past week. What do you think of that? If you've ever driven in the United Kingdom, roundabouts or what they have, traffic circles, that doesn't even come close. But good luck, it says. Or what's the next one? Okay, that seems to be obvious. Okay. I'm glad to know that the sidewalk ends right there. What's the next one? Okay, this one may be a little unclear. It says, scream until daddy stops the car. That's really not a road sign, but it might as well be. Okay, all right. These are not doctored up. What's the last one? Caution, water on road during rain. Okay. Now, we didn't doctor those up. Somebody may have, but it came off the internet, so it has to be true, correct? Seriously, signs can be confusing if they're not clear. But I believe that the signs represented on this platform are abundantly clear because we've got to have them in order to literally survive on the roadways, of course. But I believe that these signs represent ideas and direction and guidance and a path that was taught long before any of us ever thought about cars and traffic laws. I think that these signs are reflected in what Moses says in the book of Deuteronomy. That if you get to this point to where you begin to take credit for what God has done in your life, if you find yourself forgetting God's goodness, it's usually because you've lost your way. So let's just review a few of them today. Let's just remind ourselves of what the road signs meant to the people who lived in Moses' day, what they mean to us and how we interpret them. And then, of course, we've got to personalize these things. You need to be thinking as we move along in these next few moments that this road sign for me this day could well mean what? If you were to have a Marks-a-Lot, a magic marker of your own, and you were to be able to come up here and interpret this road sign, for your own life, what would it be? Well, let's begin with the one that I would call a warning sign. It's sometimes on one like this. Other times, we didn't want to make so many that we covered up the platform, but this might be a diamond-shaped sign. And it could have a message written on it that said, warning, steep hill ahead. It may say that. It's usually going to be diamond-shaped. Or it may be just some warning about the speed limit. It could be that. Speed limit 45 or 70 or whatever the case may be. This shape sign, whether it is the small rectangle or it is shaped in the form of a diamond, usually conveys those types of directions that warn us of things, remind us of what we have to do. When Paul the Apostle wrote in the New Testament, the book of Philippians, in the third chapter, around verses 8 and following, he said this. He said, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. You know, Paul is clearly in that passage telling us that if you are a Christian, if you're a believer in Jesus, if you're following Him, then you're going to suffer. It's not a maybe. It's not there may be a danger zone here. It's not that there may be a steep hill ahead. It is that there is. That's the reality of it. And folks, if you don't understand that, if you don't comprehend that part of the relationship, part of the walk with Jesus is going to entail suffering, if you don't understand that and accept it, then you're going to be disjointed in your thinking. You're going to be blaming God for who knows what. Your mindset is going to be so skewed that you're not going to be able to view the trials and the sufferings of life that are going to come your way. Not maybe, they will. But see, these Israelites in their day and time, they just didn't get it most of the time. It was always bouncing back from, why are we out here? Why'd you lead us here, Moses? We were doing so much better back there. When it came to the trouble, when it came to having to remain faithful in the midst of turbulent times, these people forgot. They didn't read the sign or they didn't believe it. And Paul, you see, he doesn't give us that signpost along the way in his own life, that warning sign about suffering in any way, shape, or form other than the fact that he considers it what? He considers it to be a blessing, to be worthwhile. He wouldn't trade it for anything. Maybe some of us have gotten off the path because this very sign, we've either ignored, we don't believe it. There's another sign, and really these two signs right here I want to bring together. The triangular shaped sign, one word, if it's going to be written on there, what is it? Yield, okay? If you're from Arkansas, you say yield. Okay, yield. Say it again. Yield. Okay, and then this one, the octagonal sign, is going to say what? Stop. Okay, stop. It should be so ingrained in your life that when you see that signal, when you see that shape sign, I don't have to think, now, what is that word? I know because that sign, that triangular sign, means yield. And I know that this one means stop. And I always stop. Always. Not, it doesn't mean rolling stop, okay? Doesn't mean glide through and think you've stopped. Stop means stop. Now, those are probably the two most well-known signs on the face of the earth. Yield and stop. What do they mean in regards to what Moses is trying to tell the people? Well, maybe the fact that they've been wandering for almost 40 years, going in circles, was a reminder that they needed to what? They needed to yield. They needed to pay attention to the direction of God's Spirit upon their life. Maybe at times they needed to simply stop what they were doing. They needed to quit the way they were going. They needed to give pause so that they could listen. What a message for people that live lives like we do today, where we're moving nonstop. We seldom take a break. The world just continues on and on, never a Sabbath anymore for most people. And we pay the price for it. Because the scripture tells us, once again, against the background of what Moses is trying to tell the people, that you need to be very careful. Now, we know yield doesn't mean that you have to come to a dead stop, but it means you might. It means you well could. It means that there's someone else that has the right of way. It means that you need to be aware of that and proceed cautiously. That's what yield means. And how many people in this nation of Israel had just barreled through life with no thought of yielding to the Spirit of God? I mean, we pray for God to rain down upon our lives, but if we're not careful enough and we're not thoughtful enough and not prayerful enough to understand how He moves in our lives, we'll never yield. Stop. Stop what? Well, fill in the blank for your own life. What could stop possibly be telling you to do today? This one particular sign right here, this one right here, could save more marriages. It could prevent more heartache. It could avoid more family turbulence regarding how children behave. If you just would say, I'm going to stop this destructive behavior. I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing. I am going to take responsibility for my own life. And I'm going to stop this sinful action. I mean, you can't sit here and say, oh, well, I'm not sure what this means. It's clear. It's obvious. But what did Moses say? Moses said, well, what's going to happen is this. You're going to roll right along. Everything's going to be fine. And you're going to have this. You're going to have that. You're going to feel good. You're going to get up. And you're going to feel like you can do whatever you want to do. And you're going to forget God. You're going to forget that God is the one who is showing you the path. And God is the one who's not trying to be mean about these things. He's not trying to put these signs up to stifle us. He's trying to help us. He's trying to help us be whole and complete and blessed. There's a sign right over here that is the rectangle that's more, you know, in this shape. And usually it has an arrow going this way or that way. And it'll have two words underneath it. One way. One way. Probably the most applicable spiritual sign that we have to the modern day sign, because we all understand the meaning of one way. John 14:6, Jesus, the words of Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. One way. And there it is. It's a sign. All the way through the book of Deuteronomy, this is really what Moses is trying to tell these people. Now, they didn't understand and know Jesus by name. They lived in the time of the book of Exodus. The coming of the Messiah wouldn't happen for centuries. But they put their faith in the God who would bring one. And they followed Him. It was one way. It was one direction. What would that road sign be for your life today? Does it transcend the fact that you would say, oh, well, I understand. I put my faith in Jesus and I know that He is my Savior and He is the only way. But is that reflected in the choices you make in life? Are the choices you're making in life reflecting that belief that there is one way? Or are you just like that first sign up there that said, good luck? Is it that the sign is not clear? No. Once again, it's abundantly clear. It's that we choose to ignore, or we don't believe, That's why Moses keeps saying the same thing over and over and over again. The sign right down there on the end may be one that you have to think about. But it is the shape of the signs of the interstate highway system in our country. You know, Interstate 35, I-45, you know, all those, that I means interstate. It doesn't mean me or you, okay, in case you needed to know. Interstate highway. And the interstate, that emblem is saved for those major highways because that tells you that if you're on that interstate, that you're on the best road. Now, I know that's a joke many times in the way we say, you know, anything but I-635. You can't call that the best road. But the idea is the highways that are numbered that bear that insignia represent the best, represent the fastest, represent the widest, the ones with the most lanes, the ones that are going to get you there quicker than any other. You can go faster. It's reserved. The right-of-way for these interstate highways was purchased long ago, and the material that makes up the path, the roadway itself, is going to be concrete instead of asphalt, on. And you're going to have the exit lanes, and everything is going to be made to work seamlessly and to get you from point A to point B as quickly and as smoothly as possible. That's the designation. And when you're out on there on the road, especially if you're in the part of the world where those interstates are not near you, if you see a sign pointing to one, especially if you're on a journey where you can get to one, that's where you want to go. You don't want to mess with the other insignia of the roadways unless you have to. Now, where's that one going? Well, you know, folks, many times the issues you and I face in life are right and wrong. I understand. They're going to be, you know better than to do this or to do that. I mean, for most of us, we should have a moral compass within our lives that will tell us that some behaviors are just inappropriate. They're just flat out wrong, if not illegal. Hopefully, you don't have to get up every morning and deal with those issues. I'm thankful that I don't have to get up every morning and just fight the urge to go to Walmart and shoplift. I don't have to do that. I don't get up every morning and think, well, on the way today to work today, who am I going to kill? You know, I don't deal with those. But there are many issues in life that for me are not right, wrong, but they're good, better, best. Okay. I want what's good. Okay. But God has what's better out there. And not only that, God has ultimately what's best. And when you're thinking about decisions that are between right and wrong, it's easy. But when it's between good, better, best, where do you want to be? You want to be on the best. You want to be on the interstate. And finding that best, whatever it is in your life, is going to take determination and prayer and support and direction that only God can give. Because sometimes those choices of where you're going to live, where you're going to work, is this option the best for me and my family? Should I do this? Should I go this way? Well, they all look like they could possibly work. They all look like they could be okay, and maybe they are. But why not pray for what's best in your life? What does that mean for you? Just take your imaginary mark slot, fill it in. Then there's another one that is basically this size, but it's going to be bigger. It's not going to be the same size as the one-way sign. It's not going to have the arrow on it, but it's going to have those words, rest area, ahead. Rest area. Now, I personally, rest areas do me no good. You know, I want to get in the car and I want to go. And I don't want to stop unless I have to. When you stop, you lose your place in the traffic. Then you've got to get back on and get ahead of everybody again. Get back where you were. It's just simple. Why rest? Well, what I don't understand many times is while I'm just barreling down the road, everybody that's in the car with me is miserable. They know full well that unless that eating establishment is on this side where we exit, we ain't going over there. Okay. It'll take an extra minute and a half. And that 18-wheeler I passed 5 minutes ago will be on down the road, and I got to get him again. Rest area. You know, maybe what Moses is really trying to say here is, hey, folks, this cycle can happen in your life, but it doesn't have to. Because there is a power. There is a Spirit of God within you. And He offers rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In the world you have tribulation, but know that I have come to give you peace, for I have overcome the world. What we need, folks, in the midst of this busy life we're living, in the midst of trying to barrel through these issues of life and reading all these road signs, is don't forget that just as there is the warning of a steep hill ahead and suffering, likewise there is the promise of rest. And many of us could testify to the fact that there have been times in our lives where we may not have meant to ignore that sign, but we did. And when we found that there was really nothing else for us to do other than to pull over and to allow God to give us comfort, we didn't really understand His love until those times came. Now, which of these signs are you ignoring? Which one of these play into your life right now? Take the marks a lot, the mental marks a lot. Just come up here. What are you gonna interpret that yield sign to be? Where have you been ignoring the presence of the Spirit in your life? The idea of one of these over here, I even skip because we don't have too much time, but one of those over there in that diamond shape is a merge sign. It's got an arrow with another tail coming off of it to let you know that there are other people around. There are other people that are involved in this thing called life, that you're not alone. So which one of these, or is it all of them, that you're ignoring? I picked up the paper last Monday in the metro section of the Dallas Morning News. Very sad story. Kyle Jackson, 18 years old. Reason I bring him to bear this morning is he just graduated from Marcus High School right here in our neighborhood. And everything that I want to tell you was in this article in the Dallas Morning News. Quotes from his parents. 18-year-old who suffered a head injury as a result of a skateboard accident back last year. But he got over it, and in getting over it, everything was fine except he developed a seizure symptom of epilepsy. And he couldn't quite understand why all of his friends could do drugs and he couldn't. On March the 19th, during spring break, Kyle went to a club called Afterlife with a few friends. He didn't drink, but doctors estimate that he took at least 3 ecstasy pills in an endurance competition with a friend. His mother said he didn't believe that the drug would aggravate his condition. Quote, he didn't know it was going to hurt him like that, Tracy Jackson, his mother, said, but he already hadn't taken his seizure medicine, and it was like putting gasoline on fire. This was his last night as a normal teenager. At 7 o'clock the next evening, his mother said, she entered his room to find him undergoing an extended seizure for about an hour and a half. He almost died in the ambulance. This was his first night as the new Kyle, the one who has to be locked onto his bed at night so he won't get up and fall, the one who can't string together 3 words. I keep praying and asking for a miracle, his mother said, for him to make a full recovery, but it may not be possible. Added into that, one of his friends said something very prophetic. He said he cared about everybody, but none of the people he was hanging out with cared about him. When worse comes to worse, the people you go to parties with and do drugs with only care about themselves. And to that, I say a big amen. Were the signs not clear? I think they were very clear. And lives turned in a direction that no one would want to go. And a mother who wants people to know, because this article was put in the paper at their, with their permission, of course, and wanting people to understand the seriousness of the decisions we make in life, and to ignore the obvious signs, seems unfathomable. Unless you're like some people long ago wandering in a wilderness who were warned, if you don't stay close to God, if you don't give Him the glory, if you don't understand who you are in relation to Him, you will forget who God is and what He has done. Pretty serious stuff here. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to remind ourselves of what's obvious, that we need you and that we need to follow the path you've given us. It's in the name of Christ I offer this prayer. Amen. We offer an invitation this morning as we close this service, an opportunity for people like you and me to respond to what God has said to us. Here's the obvious choices in my mind. You're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart to forgive your sin. You're not a follower of Jesus. It's going to be hard for you to read any of these signs, make sense of them, and to understand God's direction and purpose for your life apart from Jesus, for He is the only way. So I would invite you to come and make that choice, to step across the line of faith and say yes to the Lordship of Christ in your life. Come and tell one of these deacons, one of these ministers who will be standing here in a moment. Let them pray with you. Maybe you're here today and you know the Lord, hadn't told anyone, hadn't publicly announced your faith in Him. You need to do that. Scripture tells us that. Maybe you're looking for a place to connect, a church to call your own, and you feel God is leading you, your family perhaps, to become a part of this church. I would invite you to come and join this church today and become a part of this congregation as we, not perfect people, but people who are heading down the road, reading the signs, seeking to obey them as best we can, helping one another. And then maybe it's just simply, Lord, if I walked up here and wrote out on that sign what that sign means to me today, whatever it is, give it to Him. And walk out of this room determined to obey. That's our invitation. We stand, we sing, we wait for you to respond and come forward right now.